Ahead and turn to the book of 3 John. 3 John, we will take a look at our last individual from this little book, this little note, if you will. If you remember, it was written to a man named Gaius, and he was the man with a prosperous soul, and preached about him a couple of weeks ago. And then Diotrephes was addressed, warned about, told to watch out for. He was the man who loved himself. That was last Wednesday night. And then tonight we're going to take a look at the last individual mentioned here in the book. And I will, let's go ahead and read verses 12. We'll read 12, 13, and 14. If nothing else, we will have read the whole book. You can check that one off your Bible reading list for the year. And we read it all right here in church. But verse number 12 says, Demetrius, he's the subject tonight, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record. And you know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. And so he concludes the letter there, not far different than how we might conclude something like this. But he references here in verse number 12, Demetrius. And so tonight it's Demetrius, the man of good report. He said of him, he said he hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. This we don't know a lot about this guy, just like the other two that are mentioned here. The names are, they might be a little different for us, but they were fairly common for then. And you'll find other people in the New Testament with these names, even the name Demetrius. There was the infamous silversmith of, I believe, Ephesus that stood against Paul. There's no indication that this is him. It likely was somebody different. So we don't really know who he was. It seems to me like it's a possibility he might have been someone who John used to deliver this letter to this church. And also, when you think about that, what he says of him makes a lot of sense, that he would write this note to Gaius and he would actually depend on someone to bring it to him. And if someone, just, you know, this was an issue back then, and we see it play out in the Bible in different ways. If someone showed up to your residence, knocked on the door and said, hello, this is a letter. Hello, Gaius, this is a letter from the Apostle John. You know, how do you know that? And so him commending him and this man having a good report would probably help verify the letter. It would be wanted to be sent with someone trustworthy, not your average Uber Eats driver or whatever, that who knows what happened to that food between the restaurant and your house. But I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't. You know, I'm weird. I guess it's maybe where I grew up. I might have had food delivered to me one time in my life somewhere at a residence. I don't know. I just like to know where it came from and how it got there, I guess. Let's go back to 3 John here. That'd be a good place to go. 3 John. But it would be good to have someone of good report to help deliver these things and verify it. So not much is known about him, except really a lot is known about him. We see a lot here about his life just by what is said here. John speaks about him, and he said he hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. He's speaking of his reputation here. He's speaking of what men thought of him. And I believe the next phrase, that of the truth itself, he's speaking of the fact that his life measured up to the truth. It was testified. His life was a life that was consistent with the truth. John also wrote about the Holy Spirit and how he would lead us into all truth. And there was something about this man, Demetrius, that stood out as far as his, what we might call his reputation goes, to where he was thought of as the right kind of person. I don't even want to say he was thought of as a great guy. It's more than that. He was thought of as the right kind of person. Amen. He had the right kind of reputation. His life measured up to the right things. You know, the Bible, when we talk about, so when the people that knew this man, when they heard the name Demetrius, they immediately associated it with certain things. And that's the challenge tonight. When people hear our name, what do they associate us with? What is our report? What's our reputation with other people? The Bible speaks to the value of a good name. There's two verses I'll give you the reference and then I'll read them to you. Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 1. The Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Demetrius had that kind of name. We don't know him, but the people who did, when they heard Demetrius, well, it meant something. And God said, and the Proverbs, that having that good name is better to be chosen than great riches. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 and verse 1 says this, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Now, that's kind of an odd association there, but I think it's talking about the day of death. That's the day of finishing. And when someone finishes well, they finish with a good name. That's better even than starting with a good name. And, you know, talking about death being better than birth, that seems kind of depressing. There's actually an encouragement there, because when you think about it, there's a lot that can happen between one's birth and one's death that can change the impact of their name. There might be someone in here, even this evening, that if you were to give testimony, you would say, there was a time where my name was not respected, where if you heard my name, it would not have been thought of well. I think about the testimony of my dad before he got right with the Lord. When he got laid off from, he had a state highway job as a surveyor, and he got laid off from that, was between jobs. He basically, as I understand it, supported himself by gambling at a pool hall. Now, that's not something that lends itself to a good name. But you know that by the day of his death, anytime you heard the name B.P. Boyle in the area that knew him, it was associated with one of a good report. What happened? Well, the Lord intervened. That's what happened. And that's why I think talking about the day of death better than the day of one's birth and associating it with a good name, always remember that things can change when it's put in the hands of the Lord. And we can finish far differently than how we started when we let the Lord do a work. Names carry with them a reputation. Consider these. The Petries are about to have a baby. Maybe they want to consider a name here. How about Judas? Probably not on the list. Probably didn't even, I know they've got it all picked out, but I mean, Judas wouldn't have even made the list, would it? Why? Because to this day, when you hear that name, you go, don't you feel bad? You know, there's another Judas in the Bible. Don't you kind of feel bad for that guy? Because every time you read his name in the scripture, immediately you're having to go, well, wait, he kind of makes you feel weird, right? Well, why? Because it's attached to that name. There's the name Jezebel. How about a local fella here? This isn't even the Bible. Connecticut fella, Benedict. You know exactly who I'm talking about. I don't even have to give his last name. Benedict Arnold. He grew up in Norwich, Connecticut, and went to the Congregational Church there in Norwich, Connecticut, around the same time as a man that would become a great Baptist preacher and historian, Isaac Backus. There's a whole interesting story there. I stopped into that church one day, and they knew everything. They knew everything you could know about Benedict Arnold, but they didn't know anything about Isaac Backus, except the hospital in town's named Backus Memorial Hospital, and there's another church in town called Backus. You know, so, but Benedict. You say Benedict, you think Benedict Arnold, right? Traitor. Nobody's thinking about that name. We could go the other way with it too. When you say the name Ruth, exactly. You think, wow, what a tremendous, shining example of faith and of the grace of God and of God at work. You think of the name Moses, even not a perfect man, but you think, wow, powerful. You think there's a lot of things that are immediately associated with those names. How about, again, thinking about more modern times in the New Testament and say the name Washington. Think about George Washington. I mean, people, I was helping my father-in-law and mother-in-law. They moved this week and I helped them drop off a truck and where they had gotten it from where they had moved from. And I'm standing there talking to one of the people there, and they're talking about all the great history of the area. And here we are, 2022. She said, yeah, there's a lot of history attached to this town. She said, George Washington even lived here. She kind of said it. She changed everything. Said it that way. Like, you know, we're going to go meet him or something. I mean, and that's not, of course, going to happen. He's long gone. But the point is, you know what? That name carries weight even to this day. And so a name means something, and there's great value to a name. Names can immediately bring to mind certain reputations and characteristics, both good and bad. It can go either way. And I think it's important for us to think about this. And just as this man here in verse number 12 of 3 John, Demetrius, it said he hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. He had a good name. He had a good name, one that was well respected, one that was thought of, one that carried some weight with it. One that when you said his name or he walked in the room, people looked at him with respect, and they maybe didn't agree with everything he was about if they knew him. I don't know, but they respected him and they understood he was a man of truth and he was a man who stood for something. I want you to think about this. First of all, a good name has great value. We looked at Proverbs and Ecclesiastes about a good name. He said, it's rather to be chosen than great riches. How a good name is better to be chosen than precious ointment. Those Proverbs and Ecclesiastes describe it that way. Why is this? Well, if you don't have a good name, then really what do you have? If you don't have people who think anything positive of you, what does it really mean? You know, there have been many financial giants. The Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, it compares it to wealth. There have been many financial giants throughout history who were known for their unscrupulous dealings. At the end of their life, what do they have? They're people that I could say their name. There's some even recent ones that I it's almost too new to say their name. Not that anybody here is associated with them. It just almost feels almost wrong to say their name because of that became very wealthy at the expense of their name. And I could say that name or a name like it, and it would be right there with Benedict at this point, and it would be right there with the other names of infamy that we kind of gave as examples. And I mean, they got lots of things from it, but when they died, their name was a mud. It was, by the way, you ought to look that up. There's an interesting reason that we say that, but their name was mud. Their name did not mean anything. It did not carry with it any sort of weight or any sort of value. As a matter of fact, it carried with it negative value. You know, the way we do names, we've got to be careful. Think about this. The way we have a first name, last name, you're going to leave your name, you're going to tag somebody else that has your name with something if you're not careful. You know, there have been parents who have pursued maybe wealth. He compares it to wealth. And they've achieved some measure of it, but when they passed on, all they left for their kids was a bad name. Something to try to get out from under. That's not a good thing. It's a valuable thing to have a good name. We don't think about Demetrius here. We don't know if he was wealthy or poor. We don't even know if he was good looking or ugly. John doesn't say anything about it. We don't know what he did for a living. We don't know how much he had when he died. We don't know how much he handed down to his heirs, or if he even had any heirs. We don't know that. All we know is this: he had a good name. It was recorded here for us by the Lord in this way so that we see him even to this day. He probably felt like he didn't do much in this world compared to like a John. But here we are talking about him 2,000 years later. Why? Because he had a good name. I remind you, there's a guy that we talked about on Wednesday right prior to this who we're still talking about as well because he had a bad name, Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence. He loved himself. So contrast, when we think about Demetrius' good name, it tells us he could be trusted. You know, it's a valuable thing to be trusted. You know, one of the young people, listen to me. I hope you get this. One of the most valuable things that you can have is for people to trust you when they hear your name. Oh, did you hear X, Y, or Z? Well, really? Who did you hear that from? Well, I heard it from so-and-so. Okay, it must be true. You know, for you're earning, even in your home, you're earning trust and building up trust with your parents and things like that, your teachers and things of that nature. Don't blow that. That's a very valuable thing. That's a very, on your job, we want to be known a certain way, and it's a valuable thing when we are. We should not pursue anything that would be contrary to having a good name. Why? Because it's not worth it. If you're asked to do something, say, well, this might, the risk reward, I'm weighing it here. This might advance me in some way. This might help me in some way. This might help get me out of something. You know, if I tell this story, if I lie, if I whatever, this might get me out of something. Don't do it. It's not worth it. You know, it's better to just deal with the consequences and maintain a good name than it is to spend the value that comes with having a good name. So a good name has great value. The second thing, and I want to look at this, is a good name must be earned. A good name must be earned. It's not something that is given. Proverbs said it this way. It said a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Now, I want to talk about that for a minute. I don't think that he's talking, I know from experience and from the experience of Scripture, the experience of life, when he says a good name is rather to be chosen, it is not as simple as going to the name store and saying, okay, I'm going to pick this one. You know, I want a good name. No, that's not what it means. Rather, I believe he's here speaking of the fact that that we choose, how we choose to act will determine what our name is. How you choose to act towards others will determine what your name is. You want to choose a good name. It's not going and saying, you know what, I'm going to pick, there's a box here. One box says a good name. The other box says a bad name. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. You know what? Okay, I'll choose the good name. That's not what it's talking about. You see, a good name comes as a result of the right actions, and we choose that good name by choosing to follow in the right actions. Demetrius here, in verse number 12, in 3 John, he's described as a man that hath good report of all men. In our schools, there are report cards in various ways that go out. And those report cards are things that track a historical record of events in a certain class or in a certain situation. You know, you're taking a math class, and so here is your grade on this report card from your math class. And it's not just from one time. The student doesn't just get to go, okay, teacher, I choose an A today. It would be great. Many of them wish that was that way, but that's not the way it is. I choose an A because my parents will respect my name a lot more if I go home with an A. It's not how it works. No, you earn the A, or you earn the B, or you earn the C, or you earn the D, or you earn the F. It's earned over a series of time, over an accumulation of events, over a series of judgments, over a series of tests, over a series of trials, that is earned. And when you get that report card, it is something you go, all right, well, this is mine. This is what I chose. Now, just, you know, to pause there, it's not as simple as, well, I got an A, I have a good name, I have a, no, you know, there are teachers, parents, and others that might be involved understand, you know, there are some where they earned that C and they did a great job earning that C. And then there's others where they might have earned a C, but they should have earned better. You know, so don't get hung up. It's not about what grade we have. It's about how we are measured, and how we are measured is given by God. It's an individual thing by God. But the point is that it is a report here that he's talking about. It's not something instantaneous. It's something that has to be earned. You take a new job. Sometimes, you know, one of the hardest things, sometimes people will get, you know, they're in management of some way. They have employees under them, and they take a new job in management. So suddenly you're walking into a room with employees, and those people do not know you, and suddenly you're in charge and have to tell them what to do. You know, that's a very tricky situation, because you've got to earn that respect, if you will. You've got to earn the ability for them to listen to you and say, yes, I have a faith and a confidence in what they're telling me to do. It's something that's earned. Demetrius here was cited as having a good report, having good report of all men. Now that's amazing. Not just of the brethren, but of all men. Anybody he came into contact with, the right kind of report was being written, the right kind of reputation was being attached to his name. This isn't something that happens instantaneously. It has to be earned over time. Why? Because there has to be something to report on. There has to be something that people build and think, all right, this is what I associate with that name. Think about this. We're talking about the earning of a good name. This kind of flies in the face of how we're taught to think in our world, but I think we need to make sure we think biblically on this. But you know what? It does matter what others think. Now, we're taught to think, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Well, now there's a context for everything, right? If it's a matter of choosing between God and man, and man's going to be against us because we choose God, which one do we choose? We choose God because it doesn't matter what anybody thinks in that way. But there's some people that go about life this way. I'm going to do what I want to do. If it offends somebody, doesn't matter what anybody thinks. Yes, it does. And I can say that with even the weight of Scripture behind me. We're not going to go to it all tonight, but you know in a couple of places, Romans chapter number 14, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, Paul deals with the subjects of Christian liberty, like you know, things that, you know, maybe the Bible doesn't specifically say anything, you know, one way or the other specifically about this, but it bothers some consciences and it doesn't bother others. And how should we approach that? How should we handle that? And you know what? One of the overriding principles that he uses in all three of those areas to guide how we think, it's, you know what? I don't want to be an offense to someone else. So you know what he's telling us? You need to kind of think about what others think. He goes so far in one place to say it this way, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no meat until the Lord comes. You willing to be a vegetarian for Jesus? Paul was. Why? Because he was concerned about what others think. Now, again, this has to be measured and it has to be balanced. You can't go through life torturing yourself by what other people think. My point is, when you talk about a good name and you talk about a reputation, we do need to be conscious of others around us and what they think. Some people, you know, you ever hear the phrase, a bull in a china shop? It's kind of just, you know, just there's complete blinders. They see one thing in front of them. Sometimes even those can be very driven people and very people that get things done. But at the same time, they don't see anybody else around them. And it's like, you know, they get something done, but in the wake, there's a bunch of hurt feelings and you know, wounded people. And you know, we need to be mindful of those things. The Bible says something like this. You'll be familiar with this. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. You see, tenderhearted, that's the idea of letting what Jesus has done for us affect how we react towards others, even tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What others think, of course, is never to be our primary motivation. We ought to obey God rather than man. At the same time, we should not go about our day-to-day existence with the attitude that I don't care about anybody or what anybody else thinks. You know, there's been some people, I don't think there's anybody in here like this, but there's been some people that have actually hurt a Christian testimony because of how curmudgeonly, if you will, they are about their Christianity amongst the unsaved world around them. And people, they might be right, they might be standing on the right place, but their Christianity becomes so unattractive to the world, because that's all they ever see of a Christian is that person, and it's off-putting to the cause of Christ. You know, we need to think of how Demetrius had a good report, the Bible says, of all men. Some people think, and I've you know, seen this again, you know, I appreciate this church so much. I'm blessed. I mean, you preach these things sometimes, I think, man, people are going to think I'm thinking about somebody. Well, maybe, you know, you need it. I don't know, but I appreciate everybody and the attitudes and the spirit that I see here. But, you know, sir, I've seen people before, though, that act like grumpiness is the peak of spiritual maturity. You know, I am so holy that I can be as grumpy as I want if you're not doing it the way I think you should. And, you know, that doesn't build a good name with other people, a good report with other people. I want you to think about these things. It matters. It matters that people know that we are honest. It matters that people, you know, we think about, I appreciate the gentlemen all who count the money and deal with things here, and there's accountability there. And, you know, you think the most honest person in the world think, oh, I'm honest. I'm not going to steal it. You know, I'll just stick it in my pocket and take it to the bank. I mean, it's fine. But you know what? It's important to do things above board so that people know, hey, you're honest. There's honesty there. It matters that people know that we are obedient to the truth. It matters that people know that we care about others and not just ourselves. That was Diotrephes. His name, his reputation was he loves himself. He loves to have the preeminence. That's different than Gaius. If you look in verse number 5, in 3 John, it says, beloved, talking about Gaius, it said, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and strangers. He was one that cared about other people. And he was one that, he didn't just say that he cared about other people. He carried out that he cared about other people. He was willing to do stuff for other people and to be there for them and to help them in time of need. It matters that people have a sense that we're faithful. And you know what? When you look at all that and many other things we could look at, it takes effort and time to build good report. Here's the sad thing. Here's the thing that should make us sober about this. It takes time and effort to build a good report with others, but it takes about a moment and an instant to lose it. So we need to walk in the Spirit, be on guard. Because I can look back and think of situations and instances and go, boy, in that moment, in that instance. And you know, that's the thing about our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. We can all think of times as well where we go, wow, I'm so glad that they were gracious to me in that moment and in that instance, and that they have put that behind them, and that that's in the past, and that we can have great joy and fellowship together now. But we need to be on guard, because there have been plenty of examples of people that have earned the good report among others, and then in a moment, in an instant, they've lost it. And we need to be careful how we interact with others. We need to be thoughtful in how we interact with others. We have, in the college, we have rules about, you know, different relationships and how they interact and all. Why? Teaching them to be above board so that they can build a good name and try to protect that and try to protect that reputation and that testimony among other people. You say, why? Is it about us being puffed up? No, that brings us to the third thought. A good name is important because of what it represents. A good name is important because of what it represents. Sometimes a parent might tell a child, this might take you back a little bit. Your mom or dad ever tell you this? Do right. Don't forget you're a Boyle, a Smith, or whatever. You know what? Don't forget. Do right. Don't forget. Why? Because, I don't know, parents are worried their kids are going to tear up their name, I guess. No, they understand that, listen, people expect something out of you, and, you know, do right because of that. Well, I'm reminded of another name that has far greater importance and that took on a particular meaning. It's found in the book of Acts chapter 11 in verse 26. This is when the church at Antioch, great hearing about the church there in Newtown this morning. Hearing about how Lord's blessed there. They, of course, a lot of work ahead, but that's just a great start and a great blessing there. But similarly, there was a church in Antioch that was in the starting stages, and a man named Barnabas would come along and help them, and he would go and get Saul, who would become Paul, to come and help them. But this is what it said of them in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. I think that probably embodies what we're talking about here as much as anything. These people went out as believers in this community, and people, you read the account, many, many people were getting saved. Lots of people were trusting Christ as Savior, and they lived in such a way in that community that there was a marked difference between them and the Gentile world and the Jewish world and all the others that were around them. There was a difference between them, and so their culture said, well, there's something that they're representing. Ah, it's Christ. They are Christians. They are Christ-like. And that's a name that has stuck now for centuries and centuries and centuries to where, you know what people know us as? They know us as Christians. Why is a good name important? It's important because of what it represents, and more importantly for us, of who it represents. You know, the world doesn't look at Joel Boyle just as Joel Boyle anymore. He's a Christian. And my name will be synonymous in many people's eyes with what a Christian is. And just like your parents might have told you, you know, do right because you're a, and they fill in the blank with your last name. Friend, we need to remember we represent a name that's bigger than us. That's what your parents are telling you. Your parents are telling, we're telling you, you represent a name that's bigger than just you. It represents a mom and a dad and siblings and grandparents. I mean, going back to depending on, you know, what your situation was, and you and I represent a name that is bigger than us. We represent the very name of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost world in our communities, on our workplaces, even in this community here. That is what our name represents, and we need to remember that when we are. It's not about building our reputation. It's making sure we live right by the name of Christian, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were called Christians because that was the reputation that they had earned in their community. Now, I hope we've got tracks out there. We want people to pass out to communities and people that they run into, people in their jobs. So, obviously we hope that people in your world that you interact with, that they know that you're a Christian, but, you know, because we're trying to witness to them, of course. We hope that. But if for some reason that had never been, but they were able to watch your life and then found out that you were a Christian, I wonder how our reputation would reflect on the name of Christ. I wonder if it would be, you know what? I don't think it's a matter of perfection. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, do they see a consistency there? Do they see, you know, the most honest person on the job site should be the Christian? The most faithful person on the job should be the Christian, should be the one who bears the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be good stewards of that name. And here's a church, we need to be good stewards of that here, even in our community. One thing Pastor Townsley's worked very hard at over the years is developing relationships with people in town, talking about people that work in town and that may or may not have really any sway over things, but they are attached to this community and letting them know that we're here, we can help. We let people use the property for different things because it's helpful in the community and it's helpful to the community. Why? Because we want to make sure that our name does not in any way detract from the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Demetrius, we don't have a lot of details. We have this. He hath good report of all men. I think that means saved and lost. He had a good reputation. And that next little tag there, and of the truth itself. I think from those things that we can conclude that Demetrius understood he was representing more than just himself. If you met Demetrius, if you knew him and his neighbor, if you were his neighbor, and you thought about Demetrius, you would think, that man is what a Christian should be. That man is exactly what someone should be who represents the name of Christ. May it not be said of us that we would ever bring shame to the name of Christ because we are not people of good report. We don't want it to be that way. So we go out. Remember, you're not just being kind to someone else so that they think great of you and pat you on the back. We're being kind to someone because we want them to think the right way about Jesus. And we're not mindful of others just because we want to get a promotion or we want to get, you know, lifted up. We're trying to be the right thing because we want them to think the right way about Jesus. I've heard of believers before being made fun of, mocked on their job or, you know, by those around them, and they just are faithful. I'll say it this way, they do the work to build a good name, and then something happens in the life of a coworker or a neighbor or something where suddenly they're coming to them quietly going, "Can you pray for me?" You know, that's a powerful testimony that they may mock the things of Christ, but the good report is there among all men. You know, our world needs to see shining examples of who Jesus is. Amen. And you and I can be those examples. We let Him work through us. And we allow Him to help us build the report. And we live consistently and faithful lives simply. It's not what we're talking about. It's not complicated. It's just following God, following Him and His Word, and allowing Him to give us favor, allowing Him to advance us, allowing Him to do the work that needs to be done as we pursue what He's given us to do here on this earth so that we can one day be like Demetrius. And hopefully we are now. Hopefully we're building that now where it says He hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Dear Lord, we thank You.